General Assembly, Portland, Oregon, June 2007. It was the second largest GA ever. The largest one was in Boston. I don't remember the date. My roommate, who was a first-time GA attender, was from my own church, Unitarian Universalist Community Church in Glen Allen. And we arrived together in Portland later than we expected, which was no surprise because we had been hanging out in airports all day, naturally. But we still, even though we got there late, we still got there in plenty of time to find our motel, find our way to the convention center, find our way to the registration table so we could get all of our stuff, our name tags and ribbons and buttons and all that stuff, and find our way to the hall where the opening ceremony would begin. We even managed on the way from the motel to the convention center to stop and get some food, because we had passed a number of places I was so delighted to see that were kind of inexpensive. And on the path between the motel and the convention center, look, all these places where you can get food. I told my roommate, this is going to be easy this year. We're going to be able to eat this year at GA. What did I know on Wednesday evening? My roommate and I had looked at the GA program off and on during the day while we were waiting in airports and tried to decide what might be good things to do. I'm a GA veteran, so I know all about the impulse to do the highlight and the program version of planning. My roommate was kind of thinking along those lines, but she was more committed to advanced planning than I was. What I do know how to do is look at the program as soon as I get it, which is weeks in advance, and choose a couple of things that I know are carved in stone. I am going to do those things. And I circle those things, and then I make all the other plans around those things. And that works until I start to read the actual descriptions of the workshops. And they are in a different place from the master schedule. So you get to reading the workshops, and you say, well, that does look good. And then you flip back, and there can be 20, literally, 20 workshops plus a plenary session all going on at the same time. So I'll check back and locate the workshop that I wanted to go to and see what it conflicts with, and then I give up. And then day to day, I just wake up in the morning and decide what I'm going to do. Another factor in planning a schedule is that you might go to a workshop and hear about a related event that may not have made it into the schedule and decide, well, I don't want to miss that event. Also, you might meet somebody in a workshop that has been to something else, and you get to talking and you think, well, that's very cool. I'm going to go to the next one, next person that presents that. So GA presents us with a microcosm of real life in that respect. We have to be always open to those serendipitous opportunities that GA presents to us that are simply beyond the realm of careful planning and advance getting it worked out. Those things that are out of our control, our illusion of control. On our first day of GA, we learned quickly that it did not matter how many workshops we chose or when they were, we had to get to them early in order to get a seat. The second day, we learned that what we called early, which was 10 minutes or so, was nowhere close. Early had to be 30 minutes or so if you wanted to be able to get a seat. A combination of huge crowds and stringently enforced maximum occupancy regulations, there was no standing room, meant that many, including my roommate and I, ended up having to miss things that we were enthusiastically looking forward to. There were lots of delegates that were disappointed, as we were at this year's GA, because we were late figuring out what early meant. This added a whole new dimension to planning. I want to go to this event and that event. In order to get to this one, I'm going to have to leave this one early. Is it going to be worth it? Which one should I try? And you just have to figure that out on the spot. In spite of all the organizational skills required in the weeks prior to GA, making and sometimes remaking all the decisions that you have to, all the details you have to work on to get to GA, once I get there, once I am in the convention center for the first time, I live in the moment. from then on, for a few days at least. I feel open to the gifts of the moment, and I relinquish that illusion of control. It's a kind of energy that I wish I could draw on more often. I wish there were a way I could bottle that sensation and bring it back and take a whiff of it every once in a while back in the real world. Although overcrowding was a concern this year, there was always enough room in the enormous convention center for the morning worship services. Rank by Rank, that we sang earlier, is one of the standard GA hymns, and it is a wonder to sing that hymn with thousands of people. You can put all your notes in. You can go as high as you want. Nobody knows if you don't make the notes. It's perfectly wonderful. And this is where the plenary sessions, where the business of the Unitarian Universalist Association takes place, this is where the plenary sessions happen. And, of course, the banner parade, the opening celebration of GA, filled the hall with color and music on that first night. And our own Dave Wilcox, whose photo you see in your order of service this morning, was Williamsburg UU's banner carrier.
Sleep-deprived and hungry, I threw the bag containing the WU banner over my shoulder and headed for the convention center. My folks, old hands at GA, helped me figure out where to register and pick up my yellow delegate voting card. We parted ways as they headed into the city for dinner, and I still needed to do something with the banner. I had read the program carefully and knew where I was supposed to be at 6 p.m., to prepare for that banner parade, but it was only 5 p.m. I didn't have time to have dinner with my folks. I also didn't want to carry that banner around for an hour. So I stopped by the banner assembly area a bit early. I was a bit unsettled at that point. 2 years back, Chris and I went to Susi, and we really enjoyed the wonderfully open attitude there. So I was a bit surprised that I didn't find that same radically welcoming spirit at GA. I wandered around with my banner at GA, clearly new to the whole experience, eager for connection and shared experience, but I was mostly left to figure things out for my own. Several banners have been set up against the wall in the staging area, so I followed suit and hurried off to go find a bite to eat. When I returned, the scene had completely changed. The hall was full with hundreds of people all working to register their banners. Organizers were working hard to communicate directions, but most of us couldn't hear, and we just formed a random line. I was chatting with my roommate from Northwest Tucson, who was carrying their banner, when Reverend Jennifer finally tracked me down. It was great to see a familiar face, and I was overjoyed when she offered to help me carry the banner supplies, and she took pictures. And suddenly, we began to move. They had somehow managed to arrange all the banners into two columns, and we started to walk. After what seemed like a really long time, we heard the music ahead, and with our banners swaying to the music, we entered the main General Assembly meeting space. There was a sea of people as far as you could see, all clapping and enjoying the music. We marched into the space, and almost immediately I spotted my folks and the Northwest Tucson contingent. A little further up were the WUs, and after I made the swing past the stage and turned back the next aisle, there was the Glen Allen group, and Sarah waving and cheering loudly. So I left the hall filled with an intense spirit of connectedness and the joy of being part of something wonderful.
That intense spirit of connectedness was affirmed and called to rise through one of the most memorable and inspiring innovations at GA this year: the Committee on Right Relations. That was a group who worked to make sure that GA was equally accessible in every sense to everybody who attended. They appeared daily in plenary sessions to make their reports, and they let everyone know every day where their office was, how they could be contacted, so anybody that wanted to get in touch with them could do that. When concerns about right relationship with the entire GA came up, as they are bound to do, when this many people come together for this short a time for the intense engagement that GA requires, the Committee on Right Relations was a place to hold up a concern and name how it felt and tell the story around it. What happened? What it made me feel like? What could have been different? The daily reports of the Committee on Right Relations served a healing and healthy function, and they let concerned people know that they had been heard, and they let others know there's some things we should be thinking about here and noticing. Let's be sure we pay attention. I'd like to share a little bit about a few of the issues that were raised at GA and named by the Committee on Right Relations. The chair, who was a young woman named Petra Aldrich, made this report one day. This is a quote from her report. Several people came to us with concerns about worship services. Worship means different things to different people, based on identity and experience. Respect doesn't mean the same thing either. Traditionally white and upper class, upper middle class models of respect and worship are seen at GA. This is not terribly surprising, but worship in Unitarian Universalism can and should reflect the whole diversity of UU beliefs and practices. There was a comment about gender-neutral bathrooms, which did not exist in the convention center, and the impact that might have on transgender UUs. Mobility was an important concern this year. There were a lot of steps at GA. And there was a report one day about etiquette around scooters and other motorized devices, mobility devices. We were reminded not to use them as armrests when we were sitting in the convention center. We were reminded not to use them to help us get up out of our seats. We were reminded to notice when there's space at the end of a row where a wheelchair can go, don't sit in the seats next to that space so that the people in wheelchairs can sit with their companions when they come in. In another report, Petra mentioned that youth and young adults had let the Committee on Right Relations know that after the previous evening's plenary session, it was painful for them to see how many people left rather than staying for the bridging ceremony that recognizes the transition of teens from YRUU to young adults. The teens that come to GA, the YRUUs that come to GA, are deeply devoted to the work of this denomination, and it is a highlight of their time as YRUUs to be able to bridge at GA. The young adults spend enormous amounts of effort making the ceremony supportive and loving and inspiring, and it is a pivotal moment for teens at GA. They anticipate it all year long, and to see so many leaving before it begins makes these young people feel that their presence and their gifts are not especially important to the larger community of GA. These seem to be small matters, and you'll notice that they are not reported from a place of disagreement or conflict. Right relationship is not fixing something after a fight. GA is the largest and most diverse regular repeated gathering of Unitarian Universalists. Those who feel marginalized in their own congregations can deal with that more effectively at home, where they know people, and they can make their concerns speakable in a place that feels emotionally safe. GA is different, though. Being in right relationship means we belong together, all here for the same reason. And myself, my identity, my way of being in the world counts and deserves notice and deserves attention as much as another's. When someone gets to GA and sees how huge it is and feels how much on the fringes that person might feel because of race or age or physical ability, it can be daunting. And it does not feel safe to say, this is making me feel a little strange. The Committee on Right Relations provided a way for those voices that don't feel heard to be brought to the entire community. And they did a superb job all week long. I hope this committee is going to continue to function at GA as an ongoing year after year committee standing. They gave their reports at the beginning of each plenary session, and Dave is going to tell a little more about a specific plenary session that took place on Sunday morning.
On Sunday morning, we moved to the debate on actions of immediate witness. There were six of these to discuss, and we each received some debate. However, when we came to the fifth one, the one supporting the effort to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I was surprised at how much debate there was. A delegate would speak passionately from the pro mic, only to be followed by an even more passionate reply from the con mic. At the end of the time allotted for debate, a delegate approached the procedural mic and asked that Jenny Coulter, the moderator of the UA, who runs the General Assembly basically incredibly well, she asked her if she would refocus the group with a prayer. This seemed to take Jenny by surprise. But after taking a powerful few minutes to compose herself and think, she shared a prayer with us that spoke directly to the Spirit and helped us continue and complete the debate centered on our faith as UUs. So where was the Spirit at GA? I arrived expecting to be gathered into the GA community, you know, floating on the Spirit for the entire week, just and what I found was something different. The Spirit was there, but this wasn't the time to stand passively and expect it to find you. Once I reached out and embraced it, encouraged others on my morning run, actively participated in the workshops, sought out the right people to talk to, and focused on what I wanted, that's when I found the Spirit. It wasn't a passive meeting, but rather an active one. The resources to help change the world were there, and I only needed to reach out and ask. The Spirit I found there followed me home. This time, I actually look forward to the 2-hour delay in Portland, the 6-hour delay in JFK, because it let me spend more time talking to my new friends and fellow travelers from the congregation outside of Philly. Lots of ideas and stories were shared as we waited for planes. Even my final flight to Norfolk held an unexpected joy as I found out that the person sitting next to me was a local social activist who had spent the weekend supporting her brother at the New York Gay Pride Parade. So the Spirit's always out there, but sometimes it takes me a little longer to find it.
The Spirit is indeed always out there. At GA, the Spirit feels sometimes larger than life, sometimes hardly detectable, but it is there. And it's always ready for us to enter it. When the source of our UU energy is our own congregation, we sometimes forget that we are part of a so much larger whole. What an experience it is to spend the early mornings and the late nights and all the time in between with people that understand what we believe. Speak to us on the street, in restaurants, on the bus, as if they already know us. People who know who we are. You're invited to stay after the service for a casual cafe conversation so you can ask questions, share stories if you have been to GA, tell your own stories. And you can find more detailed information about events and workshops if you're interested to go to the UUA website, GA 2007. You can find a lot of material still up there for this past year's GA. And, of course, you are invited to come next year to Fort Lauderdale, not that far away. Come to Fort Lauderdale and find out firsthand. And so may it be.